السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكبائر الإشراك بالله وعقوق الوالدين وقتل النفس وشهادة الزور، وفي رواية: واليمين الغموس، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Ulama Ikram, most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this beautiful deen of Islam. And we know that from amongst all the religions of the world, this deen of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected this deen. And we find every single aspect and facet and department in the life of a human being has been covered by this deen of Islam. And that is why we say that the deen of Islam is not merely a religion, but it is a complete way of life. And we find that there are very various departments that Islam covers, and our ulama-i kiram have categorized these departments, and they have given us advices, guidelines on how to conduct ourselves in each department and how we should be ensuring that we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the various departments of our daily activities in our lives. We find every other religion, their teachings merely will cover their aqaid, their beliefs, or their ibadat, but it doesn't go further than that. Or at least today we find that they can only tell us about their beliefs and their manners of worship. If we ask them how they should be conducting themselves in their businesses, or how they should be conducting themselves in their interpersonal relationships, then we find that this is a grey area in their religion. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected this deen of Islam in such a manner that just like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected the Qur'an al-Kareem, where He has made the promise that إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, that we have revealed this book, the gist of the ayah, and it is upon us, it is our obligation, it is our responsibility to protect the Qur'an Sharif. In the same manner, if we look at the ahadith, which is actually a commentary of the Qur'an Sharif, a person cannot merely understand Qur'an Sharif without the assistance and the aid of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you look at history, we find that people have really sacrificed so much of time and effort in protecting every single word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That today if we quote a hadith and we say this hadith is found in this book, an entire chain of narrators is existent, and we can link this hadith directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with certainty and conviction we can say that these were the very words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected the deen of Islam. That today nobody can just merely say anything from his side. He will have to substantiate it with proofs and evidences. And when the ulama give decisions and they give rulings and they give verdicts, it is based on this Quran and hadith. That is why we should be very careful when the ulama-i-kiram give verdicts or they give opinions with regards to certain things based on Quran and hadith. We should be very cautious. We should leave our opinions one side. We must remember that they have come to this opinion based on Quran and hadith. And the Quran and hadith, it is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For we know, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ, that everything that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it was a revelation directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, if the ulama ikram say that abstain from these certain things, it is based on Quran and Hadith. Therefore, we should leave our opinions one side. In other aspects, we can give our opinions when it comes to politics or the buying of a car or the buying of a cell phone. But when it comes to the opinions of ulama ikram based on Quran and Hadith, we should be very, very cautious and careful. There is even a fear that a person's iman can be lost. So coming back to what we were saying, that the deen of Islam, ulama ikram have categorized it into various departments. Our aqaid, our beliefs, our ibadat, our acts of worship, whether it is our salah, our zakat, our fasting. We find in the books of jurisprudence, in the books of fiqh, there are various topics covering the manner in which we should perform our salah. If we look at the manner in which we should discharge our zakat, there are details and guidelines on how this should be done. And furthermore, we find that there are other departments, that is our mu'amalat, our dealings, the manner in which we conduct our businesses, the manner in which we buy and sell, and then our mu'asharat, our interpersonal relationships, how we behave with our parents, with our wives, with our children, with our neighbors, and our akhlaq, that is our character. So basically, ulama ikram have outlined and they have mentioned these five departments. And we find Islam has covered all five departments to such an extent that even in terms of our etiquettes, the manner in which we should be eating our food, how we should enter the toilet, how we should leave the toilet, and we should be proud of this. We know of that incident of a sahabi when he was mocked at, that your Nabi teaches you how to go to the toilet. He said proudly. He was proud of the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the deen of Islam did not leave anything out, but that guidelines were given to us. So we have a complete way of life. In this regard, Hazrat Maulana suggested that we should be discussing with regards to the rights of parents. And we find that the rights of parents, it enjoys a very, very great status in Shariat and in the deen of Islam and in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That immediately after the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after huququllah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, next comes the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who enjoys the greatest status is that of our parents. So therefore, each one of us should listen with an open mind and heart, that if we have our parents who are alive, we should make niyat that we should implement these qualities in our lives, and we should try and fulfill the rights of our parents. If on the other hand our parents have passed away, then too Shariat has given us guidelines with regards to this. For example, in one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if a person's parents have passed away, then he can still fulfill their rights. How? By making dua for them. Making dua for them. By asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. By fulfilling any promises that they may have made. Fulfilling any business transactions or any debts that they may have left behind. And similarly, by ensuring that we maintain that relationship that our parents had with regards to their friends. And also, we maintain those family ties which we had gained by means of our parents. So these five aspects, if our parents have passed away. Nevertheless, in this ayat of Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ, your Rabb, your sustainer, your nourisher, He has commanded, He has ordained. And if you look at this ayat of Quran Sharif, and as Hazrat Maulana I record mentioned, that if you look at Quran Sharif, we find that there is a power behind it. A very powerful being is speaking. It is not as we find today, that if a president makes an announcement, he still has a fear that there must not be an uprising, or there must not be some type of civil unrest, or some type of marches or protest action. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has got absolutely no fear whatsoever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He has made a decision or He has given a command, then this is a command and we have absolutely no opinions or we cannot have any reservations with regards to any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One particular pious person, if I'm not mistaken, is Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Ali. He had purchased the slave. And when he purchased the slave, he asked the slave, what is your name? So the slave said, whatever name you give me, that is my name. And then he asked him, what food do you desire eating? He said, whatever food you give me, I am happy with that. He said, what would you like to wear? He said, whatever you give me to wear, I am happy with that. So in turn, the master told the slave, don't you have any desire? So he said, what does a slave got to do with any desire? Whatever the master wants, that's what the slave will do. So we are all the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a command, then we must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. No matter how intelligent we may be and how many degrees we may have to our name, we have our limitations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hikmah, His wisdom is beyond the wisdom of all creation. And if you look at every single command of Shariat and command of Islam, if really we analyze it, we will find there is nothing but hikmah behind it. This morning when I was driving, I saw one particular vehicle and they had advertisement for gambling. And in the back they had the gist of that was that we should be cautious when we are gambling. That only winners gamble responsibly, something to that effect. But in other words, even they realize that if a person continuously gambles, he can lose all his wealth and he will suffer, his family will suffer, and in turn the entire society can suffer. So every single hukum of Shariat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in it our safety, the safety of our family, and the safety of society. If we take, for example, intoxication, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it forbidden. If you look at the consumption of swine, for example, we know that that animal, what is its, it nourishes itself from nothing but filth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to protect us. Even though we do not know the wisdoms behind every injunction, remember we are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will accept the decisions and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any reservations. So in this ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, He has ordained, Allah ta'budu illa iya, that we must worship none but Him. We must not ascribe any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be firmly embedded in our hearts. And we must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He must give us the true unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, the true wahdaniyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. If you look at the pious and the ahlullah, they have such type of wahdaniyat in their heart that anything that they see, they attribute it towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their gaze is only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. Thereafter, immediately after the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala says, وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And Allah ta'ala has commanded that we should show kindness to our parents. We find today that this is greatly neglected. And it has become such in the society, thanks to the propaganda and thanks to the media, where in fact through the cartoons and through the various movies and programs that they have, they actually encourage disobedience to parents. Freedom. We must not listen to what the parents say. Nobody must tell you what to do. You are your own boss. And this is, we find, the scenario in our amongst our youth, that they do not want to allow any type of authority above them. So in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions clearly, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, kindness towards our parents. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. That if any one of them, the gist of the ayat, reaches old age while you are alive, then you must not say uff. There must be no statement of contempt towards your parents. Now here we find that Mufassirin have mentioned that when they are old, then you must not say uff. So does it mean when your parents are young, or when they are not really old, so at that time you have the liberty of saying what you wish to say? So that is not the case. Mufassirin have mentioned that because when parents become old, we find that due to their old age, they become sick and they are more in need. So then we find that the children become more frustrated. And at times the parents can become irritable because of their sicknesses. And they are excused for that. So at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do not utter anything out of contempt. That how many times must I do this for you? Or how many times I told you to do this? So then we find that now the whole table has turned. Now the child, he wants to become the ruler over the parent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا, do not rebuke them, do not scold them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, but instead, say to them words of kindness. So look at this. Why, if we look back a little in history, and that's the history of our own lives, when we were young, when we were little children, when we were little babies, and in fact when we were in the womb of our mother, only Allah knows and only our mothers and fathers know what they had to go through so that we could be in this world. So we can never ever repay them for that. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us that from amongst all my creation, make sure that you fulfill the rights of your parents. Absolute kindness, absolute mercy, and we should always take care of them. And not only that, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا, we should be making dua to our parents that, oh Allah, just like how they had mercy for me when I was young, when I was in need, when I was helpless, in the same way, oh Allah, you have mercy upon them. In the hadith sharif that I quoted, and there are so many ahadith with regards to the rights of the parents, and so many incidents in the lives of Sahaba-i-Kiram, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had directed them and instructed them to show kindness to their parents. Even if those parents, to such an extent, that even if those parents are not Muslim, even if those parents are sinners and transgressors, then to the mu'min child, if the child is a Muslim and the parents are non-Muslim, even in that case, Sharia does not allow that child, it does not give him the right to show disrespect in any way to those parents. Yes, if those parents instruct him or they prevent him from fulfilling any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in a dignified manner, with a lot of hikmat and wisdom, with a lot of kindness, we will not obey them in those cases. But with regards to ordinary matters, even if our parents are not believers, then too we should show kindness to them. We should show mercy towards them. We should not look that sometimes a person says, no, but my father is like this and he is like that. No, even if the person is not a Muslim, then too Sharia does not allow us to show disrespect in any way whatsoever. In the Hadith Sharif which I had mentioned, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions five major sins. And the first major sin is attributing and ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that to show disrespect and disobedience to parents. So therefore we who are children, who have our parents alive, we should make sure that we are fulfilling the rights of our parents. We should make sure that we are showing kindness and love towards them. And not only kindness and love towards them, tolerance at all times. And we should include them in our du'as. Remember, there were times we do not even recall what they had done for us. We can never pay them for that. The least we can do is not show disrespect to them. And those of us who are parents, then yes, we too have, and our children too have rights over us. And what are those rights? That we should make sure that we bring them up correctly. Sometimes we find that the parents, they do not make the tarbiyah of the child. They do not nurture the child correctly. Then the child rebels against the parent. One father came to me and he says, Maulana, please speak to my son. Because if I say anything to him, we will end up fighting. So he says, I'm even scared to tell my son anything. But if you look back, why has this happened? That when the child made that mistake, the parent says, no, never mind, leave him. It's okay, don't tell him anything. So what happens is this child continues growing up in that manner without being told, and he enjoys that type of freedom. Now, when the parent wants to say something, there is no authority whatsoever. So yes, we do not say that there must be so much of discipline that the child begins rebelling. But then again, there should not be so little discipline that the child becomes so free that nobody can say anything to that child. So it's very essential that we should discipline that child. Look at what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. He says that muru awladakum bis salah wa hum abna'u sab'in wadribuhum 'alayha wa hum abna'u 'ashrin aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam ila akhir al hadith. He says, addressing the parents, that instruct your children, enjoin your children, command them and encourage them to perform their salah when they are 7 years of age. When they are 7 years of age, we as fathers, we should ensure that our sons are performing their salah. And the mothers at home, they should make sure that their children are performing that salah. So obviously from there we can understand that the child should have already been taught the masail of salah before 7 years of age. Because then only will the child be able to perform that salah. So from 7 years of age, the child should already be performing the salah. And if he does not perform the salah, the parent should immediately instruct the child to perform the salah. Further, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَضَرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ عَشْرٍ And punish them if they do not perform their salah when they are 10 years of age. Today we find that a child is 10, 13, 14, and nothing, the father will just allow the child not to perform salah, will not even ask, did you perform your Zohar salah today? Did you perform your Asr salah today? This is not correct, respected elders and brothers. We are opening the door for our child to weaken his iman, and in some cases, they have even lost our iman. Salah is the most important pillar of Islam. And if we get salah right in our lives and the lives of our children, inshallah, with the barakat of that salah, everything else will come right. So we as parents also have to ensure that we play our part. And we should expose our children to such environments which are conducive for that child. If we will expose the child to an environment which is not conducive, then it is obvious that that environment will have a negative and adverse effect on our child. Then we are also to blame if that child becomes a pain for those parents. In any case, respected elders and brothers, just to, in short, mention what we are saying, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the deen of Islam, which is a perfect and complete way of life. And it has covered every single facet and department of our lives. That is why we say Islam is a complete way of life. And in those different departments, then we should make sure that we are working and we are trying to gain perfection in every single department. From amongst those departments are our interpersonal relationships and with regards to how we behave with our parents, our children, our wives, our neighbors. Amongst those rights, our parents enjoy the highest, position there. So we should ensure that we have fulfilled the rights of our parents and we fulfill the rights of all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to fulfill the huquq of the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to fulfill huququllah. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He brings complete deen into our lives and complete deen into the lives of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blows the winds of hidayat throughout the continents. We make dua for the Muslims who are suffering in Palestine, in Afghanistan, in Chechnya, in all parts of the world. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.